Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. This is a podcast for women over 40 who are looking for sane and frank advice about their health and wellness, especially through menopause. I'm Amanda Thebe, the original resilient bitch and menopause guru. In my work as a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and through my own personal experience, it became obvious to me information about menopause and this curious phase of our life was so ridiculously hard to find. And that's why I started this podcast. Join me every week as I speak to health and wellness experts on hot topics that directly impact you. I've made it my mission to help you by exploding a few myths, presenting you with the facts, and hoping to inspire you to be a healthy, strong person just like me. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. Then go and tell your friends, and then go and tell your husband, and then tell the neighbor, and then don't forget to visit me at fitandchips.com. And now let's get started on today's show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of Fit and Chips Chat. Hi, Meg Matthews. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Amanda. And thank you for having me.
So Meg is doing a fantastic job over in the UK at trying to raise menopause awareness. She's been very open and very candid about her own struggles with menopause, and we're going to talk about that in the show. She's putting information out there, education, and literally being an ambassador for women. So thank you for doing that. It's what we need. We need to open the conversation. So that's great.
Absolutely.
So listen, before we start talking about menopause, which is clearly the point of the show, I just would love to sort of like talk about you and your background, because you give these little snippets of information about your life, but you've had like the coolest time, like growing up, like starting with the fact that you grew up in Guernsey. That's pretty
tell us
about just your briefly about your childhood and sort of where you got to, because I found it quite interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, most people just think from my accent and everything, and of course they don't dive into anything. They just think, oh, she's from the East End of London and she just was like this. But no, I was born and bred in Guernsey, which is an amazing island. It's 5 by 10 miles, I think. And I think it got very famous for the potato society pie, whatever. So film. I think that's where all the Americans know it from. And it was a great, nobody locked their front doors. We have amazing Guernsey cows. We did have the best milk and the best cream, and we're
good. Yeah.
Well-known brand tomatoes, and we have amazing islands like Sark and Alderney and Herm. And I was very lucky to grow up there where it was very open and beautiful landscapes and lots of amazing beaches. And after Guernsey, I then left to go to South Africa. So I was this Guernsey girl, and which is also a tax haven in the UK, which is also one a very lucky thing. And then I was taken and I was and lived on a wine farm from the age of 9 in South Africa, outside Stellenbosch, on a KWV farm on a Helderberg mountain, where my parents had emigrated, and I lived there for 5 years on this most beautiful vineyard wine farm overlooking Cape Dutch House in Stellenbosch, where I just used to ride these horses up and down, swim in dams, had an amazing life, traveled all over Africa, living with my parents, sleeping under a Land Rover from Namibia to Botswana to Mozambique to Tanzania to all over South Africa, on safari, and then got put into a very Quaker boarding school in just outside Oxford.
It was Quaker, did you say? Oh my gosh, was it quite strict?
Yeah. No, the Quaker school is, it was Quaker, but it was the most unstrict school you possibly ever go to. Right. So I was there with Guy Ritchie, and Tabitha Ritchie is my best friend. So there was quite a cool like group of us there. I arrived there coming from South Africa, where there'd been sanctions and apartheid. So I was like the Zola bud. I had really long jeans. I had no shoes. I didn't understand music because of the because of the apartheid. Nobody would let their music be played there,
right.
And it was very difficult. So I arrive at this boarding school with completely the wrong clothes, not having, you know, the right jeans or, you know, everything was wrong. But I just managed to, I was good at sport and great at swimming and great at running, which means when you go to, if you don't know this, if you go to a private school in the UK and you're good at sport, you get away with a lot. Schools are very competitive within their sport. So I was great at cross country and shot put champion and basically that and swimming. I was amazing at swimming because being brought up in Africa, I just swam all the time. So that got me through a lot of trouble because I wasn't that academic.
But yeah, you preferred the sports, yeah.
Yeah, so I got away by just being really good at sport and being in every you name it, tennis club, hockey club, netball club, cross country, you name it. I just was good at sport and that got me through.
Yeah, sounds like me. It's exactly like me. I wasn't too bad at the academics, but I loved all of the sports as well. It's sort of like, I think it sets you up as well for being an adult when you do a lot of sports as a kid, right?
Yeah, it does. I think so, yeah.
And then when you left school, you started a fashion career and ended up with your own PR company at age 21. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, I went to... I hitchhiked to London. I lived on the streets and then it sounds very scary. I wasn't scared at the time, but it was a different era. I was a punk rocker. I was in the King's Road and I basically, by the time I was 21, I was doing PR for Naf Naf and loads of different shops in Covent Garden. And I just went to shop by shop and said, you know, you pay me a couple of... £50 here, £100 there, and I'll do PR for you. And I ended up just doing 10, 20 shops of PR and it managed to take off and I did a really good job. And yeah, that was it really. And from then onwards, it went from PR into music. And I decided that it was all about aerobics then. Back then in the 80s, because you've got to remember we are talking early 80s.
I know, same here. I was an aerobics teacher. Like, so you actually were a fitness teacher, right?
I wanted to do aerobics and I wanted to be an aerobic teacher and Pineapple was around the corner from me.
Oh, I remember Pineapple. Oh my God, their clothing was iconic. Do you remember?
Yeah, and they had the best classes and they had the dance classes and we had the aerobic classes. So basically I got all caught up with that and then I left there and then decided I would go to a gym in Notting Hill in Westbourne Grove. And I went there and they were like, you haven't got a LAFRA. You need a LAFRA sports degree. And I was like, LAFRA? And they went, no, you can't just go to YMCA now and just get a sports certificate. It doesn't work like that anymore, Meg. So I'd given up everything. And then I was left giving out towels and locker keys on this reception. And it's like really... plush gym. But by doing that, the people that were members there were just the most iconic people of the round of that time. You know, Camilla Lowther, who's Adora's mum, and Jamie Morgan, who was the photographer for The Face. And, you know, it was the hub of, you know, people coming. And then there was Michael Rosenblatt, and he was like head of A&R at Warner Brothers. And, from that, just giving out towels and locker keys, like, you need to be A&R, you're at the forefront, you know everything that's going on. And I ended up looking after Betty Boo. She signed to Warner's. She was just this big iconic.
Yeah, Betty Boo doing the do. I'm like literally singing it in my head.
Betty Boo just doing the do. She was a great rapper. She, you know, she went on tour with like Public Enemy in the States. And I looked after her. And from that, I got into music and I started working for Def Jam and there was no hip hop being played on Radio 1, of course. So I would be sending out these white labels to all these pirate radio stations, all very exciting. And so that's how I got into music, just by just by blagging. I was just always in the right place. And then I did remixing, and it was all about, you know, Dave Morales doing these remixes for All This Expensive Money. And then I just started doing like Seal. I did Salt and Pepper's Only Ever Remix out the US. I got Ice-T's Only Top 20 hit in the UK. I mean, I was doing all this, and but I was just blagging. I just was blagging. I wasn't actually doing the remixing. I had this group of kids from Shepherd's Bush. They were just, I'd be giving them the dats and the music, and we would do the remixing, and then giving it to the, I would just walk in and do all the bit where you had to go and blag in with the record company executives. So I was very good at that.
It seems to me, though, like the, it's, you're just adaptable, and that's what it, and it looks as though, you know, you see an opportunity and you're just not intimidated by it. Like it's something I can do and something I can try. And it, and I think that it's probably, been something that's probably helped you through your career in general, right? Because it's a common theme that keeps coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but with the menopause, I mean, it was the least thing I ever thought I would. I did not even know what the word perimenopausal was. I'd never even heard of it. Postmenopause, menopause. I mean, I had no idea. If I would have known, I've come through the other side now. It's been 5 years, and I've just got to say, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and I feel great. But for 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, for 5 years, I had the most horrific time. I would not have set this up if it wasn't that horrific. I thought that I'd my lifestyle, my rock and roll lifestyle, which what has been accountable for all over the internet. I, you know, had partied hard, had taken shit loads of drugs, had raved, done all that MDMA, ecstasy, whatever you were not supposed to do. I really thought that, oh my God, something has happened to me. They said they never knew what was going to happen, and it happened to me. I was the one who was going to have the nervous breakdown. And
right. So did you attribute all of your perimenopausal symptoms to like to do with your previous lifestyle?
Yeah, to do with my raving days of Ibiza for being up for 3 or 4 nights dancing. Yes, I did. And I was too scared to tell anyone because I really just thought that I'd been warned. But I, you know, people have warned it, and I thought that was it. And I had social anxiety, and I felt like I was having a nervous breakdown. And, you know, everything was really, you know, was bad. So I was just like petrified, but I really could not leave my house. I spent 3 months indoors saying I'd got glandular fever, so I didn't have to speak to anybody. I couldn't have any eye contact with anyone. I couldn't get dressed. I would set my alarm. I'd get up and get breakfast ready for my daughter. She was doing her GCSEs and my partner. And the minute they left, I just would get back into that duvet. I'd lie there, I'd put on a box set, eat comfort food, and then set the alarm again for 4 o'clock, get up, put a bit of makeup on, try and look normal, cook some dinner, light a few candles and make it look normal, and then go, I'm really tired, I've had a really busy day, and go back to bed again.
So you were putting this front on, this face on for people.
Then it was just like, I can't do this no longer, so I'm going to go and see. So I went to see Sarah Matthews, a private gynecologist, and then she said, Meg, you're going through the menopause, you know, here we go, boom, boom, boom. Gave me the gels and everything. But I also had been to my local doctor where I was on anti-anxiety, antidepressant, antidepressants, because I was also like, I am really in a bad way. And I don't care. I was thinking, I turned to like one of these, you know, being on antidepressants at the age of 49, 50, I don't care. I'm, you know, been all my life being all right, but, you know, I'm going to take whatever it does. So I did all of this, and then I sat down with my family after my bloods came back, and it said, you know, you are going through menopause. And then I sat my work partners, my daughter and my partner down in a circle and just said, guys, I'm going through the menopause. I'm the rolling of the eyes from the teenager, and then you know, then I don't, you know, I was going, you know, so I have been acting a bit wacky, and I'm want to cry at everything, and I am hysterical, and I'm angry and I lose everything and I've got foggy brain and I've got achy joints and I just don't want to have sex and don't come near me. I feel so sick.
Was there like a, because your story is it's horrendous, but it's also like similar to mine, only on the different side of the ocean, and it's similar to many women's. And usually there's like a tipping point, like a pivotal point that makes you go, I can't do this anymore. And like for me, I knew what it was. Like I had this breakdown with my husband where I was like, maybe I need to leave him. Like maybe it's the end of the road for us. And it was only when I like sat back in reflection and went, you know, but I love my life and I love my husband and I love my kids. What's going on with me that I actually, you know, finally took the step and went to see someone. And I wondered if there was like, was there something that happened to you that made you think this has to stop right now?
Yeah, of course. I kept thinking it had to stop and I was taking everything and I was taking the estrogen and I was doing everything, but it was not stopping for me. It wasn't getting any better for me. So, you know, I was just like, you know, bye-bye partner, see you later. Dog sleeping on the bed, that makes me feel better. The night sweat stopped after 4 days of being on estrogen, but the anxiety and the overwhelming of life, like me not being able to drive my car, me, you know, not thinking of what to wear. Everything was so difficult. All of a sudden, I thought at 50, life was going to be great. All of a sudden, but then all of a sudden, everything, even to pick out what to wear, I was like, oh, can't even think of what to wear. And then, you know, putting on weight and I'm like, I can't eat what I want. I don't want to have sex. What is life about? It's just everything. It's just shit. What's going on? Nobody's warned me about this. And then there's like, oh, you're postmenopausal because you haven't had a period for 12 months. Well, what the hell? No one's ever told me this.
Why isn't this conversation happening? Why aren't we talking about this?
Perimenopausal. Never heard of it. Now I can see I was. And I self-medicated on drinking a lot more when I had an AS at the age of 39. I could see when I was going through those low bits and my life was on a really, you know, was amazing. And I was, you know, come here, let's go there, doing this. I had this amazing, I was working with Liberties, designing wallpapers, you know, William Morris putting all my touches to this. I mean, what person would, you know, I was, you know, it was a dream come true, but I was still flat as a pancake and I was still like thinking, oh, well, I'll just have another glass of wine. It will help me through the lunch with these amazing people at Liberties, you know. So, and then I look back and I just see that I was self-medicating myself through. But I did not know that this was just all to do with hormones.
I know, and here's the thing: like you're saying, you see yourself medicating, but the fact is, when you're in pain emotionally and physically, and you don't get answers, nobody's telling you what's going on. It's debilitating. It can be frustrating, depressing, and all of those things. Because you think you're going around the bend, you think you're going bonkers, right? And it's like, what's happened to the person I know I can be? I know that was me. I was like, I just don't recognize myself when I look in the mirror. Like, I just don't get what the fuck's going on. Like, it's crazy.
That's exactly it. I mean, for me, I was the biggest traveler. And then we booked a couple of years ago. We rented a house in Venice. And it was like, you know, a dream holiday and this beautiful little house in Venice. And I just had this dream of me, because I'm, you know, LA mad, just to get on the bikes in the morning, go get my coffee, ride rides along there, come back, you know, go and have this great, beautiful, healthy breakfast, go to Whole Foods before it was bought by Amazon. You know, just all that great lifestyle that I just love because of your, no, can we just have that back? Thank you. Sorry, my dog's just decided to eat off something he shouldn't have.
And you couldn't do the trip, did you?
No, I got there and I just was like, the sun was too much. I couldn't go to Joshua Tree. I just like spent in this air conditioned bedroom, like overwhelmed by like, I'd get on the bike and the light was too bright and I just wanted to stay indoors and I just just was like, it just was not me. And I was just thinking, oh God, come on, make anything, do anything. Come on, let's go. Okay, we'll drive into Hollywood and let's go to the Ivy and we'll do lunch at the Ivy. Okay, and we're all outside and it's really exciting because we're British and we're dying to go there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'd be there and I'd just be feeling nauseous. And my boobs were hurting and they were getting bigger. And I just felt like I was pregnant and just nothing. Every day there was another symptom or another feeling. You know, there was just like, just thinking, why can't I just feel normal and not overwhelmed and not feeling ill all the time? It was,
what was the thing that helped you then? Like, so these symptoms of anxiety stuck around even when you were on HRT, right? You were like struggling.
I had it for a long time, right? So for me, it was all about talking. I would pick up the phone in the morning and I would call my girlfriend, who also called Janice, who was going through it. And I'd be like, oh God, have you slept? And she'd be like, no, I've been awake. I woke up at 3 and I've just been worrying about everything. And she does voiceovers and she goes, and I've been doing voiceovers for the last 25 years. It's like, you know, I'm, you know, world famous for this. And I've now got claustrophobia. I don't even think I can go into a studio to do a voiceover, Meg, with the door shut. I'm panicking all night that I'm not going to be able to do it. Now, why does this all happen to us? And this is what's making me, that every menopause is different. How long is a piece of string? I want him to make and to get the word out there to people a lot younger, because I'm now feeling for me that what I'm learning is that 1 in 100 women between the age of 40 and 45 will be perimenopausal, which now means that they will probably have to do IVF. So I'm now thinking, I'm wanting to help these young women, let alone me at 53, and also the women going through postmenopausal. There's all these young women. When I'm doing talks at the BBC, I'm looking around the room and I'm looking at these young faces. They've never even heard that word.
No,
they
not
don't
at all.
Know what it is. They're just carrying on with their careers as they, you know, that they are, and they're at that age where they just think, oh, I'm only in my, you know, early 40s and I'm, you know, going to really go for this new job. Then I've got other, you know, and I'm now looking going, guys, I'm really going to have to tell you this. And, you know, these are the symptoms. You can see them on the nice guy, and they go, oh my God, I've got this, I've got that, I'm feeling like this, I'm feeling like that. And I'm like, I'm just wanting you to make sure that you don't miss the boat. And, you know, because, you know, I wasn't taught it. I had an S at 35. The average age is 32. So I'm wanting to, now I'm seeing that the menopause, it's crossing everywhere. And I'm wanting to make sure that every woman gets to know, from all these ages, you know, 1 in 1,000 will get it in their 30s, you know.
It's crazy. The numbers for, and also the ones that go through the forced menopause, that's something not spoken about much. The women who have like radiation from cancer treatment or from hysterectomy.
They're hysterectomy and they're put straight into the menopause. This is what I mean. It's like, I want to help, like, to get this across, because it's just the whole subject. It's just not talked about. I mean, my gynecologist, she's one of the first women at 15. She took the ovary out of one of her clients and they did all the radiation. They did everything on her and she put the ovary back into her. And she is now, 2 years later, got a bouncing baby boy. She's the only woman in the world to do this. And I'm screaming this and wanting to tell this story as well, because, you know, this should be also looked at, you know, and it's not being looked at either. But yeah, there's just so much to be talking about. But I just can't believe that we go through, you know, our 20s and our 30s and our 40s. And I thought I knew everything and I'm going through life. And then, boom, this word came up, which I'd never even came into my psyche, never even bothered. I knew a few people and I was like, I'm so sporty. That's never going to happen to me.
Me too. And you know, this is a great point. I was speaking to Dr. Hannah Short, who is another one of the GPs in the UK that's really like valid information out there. And she recently went to a yoga convention where the yogis listened to her and were very open to hearing her, but in the recess had said something like along the lines of, well, I probably won't get menopause symptoms because I'll just out yoga them, you know. I do yoga, I drink my green smoothies. And Hannah sat there going, did you even listen to anything I said? I mean, yeah. I was the same. I went into my 40s as smug as anything, thinking I've got these, like, this 40 business nailed. And like you had 5 years of really being very unwell and confused, and like the information wasn't there. But here's the thing, right? You've just like myself, but obviously on a bigger platform, you're talking about it, right? So you're getting the information out there. Yeah. So your website is called Meg's Menopause, right? And there's tons and tons of information out there. So tell me about why you started, like, the website.
Yeah. So,
and what the purpose of it is. Yeah.
Right. So the reason I started is because, number one, I have got ADHD. So me picking up a book and my concentration span is very short and can be quite painful for me. So I'm also dyslexic. So I, you know, people were giving me book after book after book, which to me was just like, you know, that even gives me the fear, because I can pick up a book and I really want to read it, but the words of dyslexic, they jump out, they're not there, they're just too much for me. So I thought, I need an Instagram. I want something. I want a great pictures, and pink's my favorite color. So
you like, I need a visual representation of what I'm.
So
like,
I need a great visual with a few lines underneath. So this is how it first started. So the few lines. Then with a few lines, then it would be like, right, okay, so now this is me and the few lines. Now let's go. Let them, if they want to go, then they can go to the Meg's Menopause website, and then they can read in depth, you know, for 5 minutes on something if they want to read it. Do you know what I mean? But that's what it was. It was very vogue. It wanted it to be very good image with a few lines. Like, I love shock factor. I wanted to say, yeah, it's shit. You know, you have your pelvic floor is just going to cave in. Your vagina is going to shrink, like, this way and this way. Sex is going to be painful. Your boobs are going to be sore. You're going to have dry mouth syndrome, which I've got. You know, I just wanted those facts, and I wanted it to be quite shocking. And so people would take it seriously and start reading it. Then they can go to Meg's Menopause, where they can sit there and have a cup of tea and sit on a Sunday and then read it into detail. You know, and I didn't know that it was going to take off so well. So in January 2018, my lot said, come on, we're going to have a launch party for the website. And I was like, God, menopause launch? Well, you know, Lorraine on ITV covered it. There was like the queue went round the block. I mean, I've never seen so many faces, you know, girls in London in a menopause. Now, 5 years ago, you wouldn't have been dead. Well, I certainly wouldn't have been gone to a menopause, launch party.
No, we're making menopause cool again. That's even cool to start with, I should say. Menopause is the new thing. Yeah.
It is, yeah. And I just think it's great because we're going to help a lot of women. And for me, knowing, like, I think in the US you have 38 million and we have 13 million. So it's a very lonely place. And as we call it, it's the invisible age. Between 51 and 54, it's the invisible age. Suicide rate goes up, and I know it, and I speak to a lot of women and who message me directly, and it's very sad. And what I'm wanting to do is basically start up like Weight Watchers. You remember Weight Watchers?
I do.
So, right. So what I'm wanting to do, this is how I want to do it, because I have a convention, but it's, you know, it's expensive and people have got to come to London and it's, you know, one day a year. So what I'm wanting to do is, everybody in England, as you know, there's a village hall, there's a community service, a community place, a library or something. You know, I'm wanting to set up like Weight Watchers used to be. I mean, it's all different now because it's online, but you used to go to Weight Watchers and get weighed and get supported, and a group of women and you chat about what you ate that week, and you, you know, a place of support. So what I'm doing is I'm going to my local church, which is at the end of my road. I'm going there tomorrow. I'm going to rent a room once a month to begin with. I did say once a week, but then everyone said, Meg, hold on, you're all or nothing. You know, it's a big thing you're taking.
Yeah.
A month first. And then I'm opening it up. And then I'm wanting to do something on Meg's Menopause where they will be able to get a package and they can do it in their village hall. Now, if you might only have five people that week, or you might have 25. And then at the end of the month, at the end of the year, whatever the money is left in the treasury, we give it to the Eve Appeal, or we give it to the Daisy Network, you know, to a menopause, you know, we can pass the
some
money
type
down.
Of some type of non-profit that supports women.
Non-profit,
well.
Yeah. So basically, yeah. But these women will not feel alone. They don't have to tell their husband. They're nipping to the church hall. It could be the Women's Institute. It could be, you know, because Wednesday's probably youth club night. Thursday, Women Institute, you know. Friday could be, you know, let's pop along for an hour. They can have a cup of tea. They can have a chat. They can discuss what they're on, what they're not, why they're feeling this, and just feel supported. Because, you know, it's about feeling supported. And I just think, you know, where my dad lives, there's a village hall. But, you know, it's like the closest town is 20 miles. So this little village hall is the hub of the village. There's not even a pub in Norfolk where my dad is. But there is a youth
hang
pub.
On. There's a place in the UK that doesn't have a pub. That's really bizarre.
Yeah. The village does not have a pub. It's one of the ones that there was a rule laid down because it was a place where they used to send pregnant women many years ago, back hundreds of years ago, there to have their babies. So there was not allowed to be a pub in my village, and still today, not allowed.
That's hilarious. But back to your point, though, the power of community has been proven so many times in research and psychology. Yes. Just how it can actually change the way that the genetic makeup, like how you think and how you process and how you
absolutely
cope and all of those things. And that's why things like Weight Watchers have always been successful, whether or not you actually believe in the principles behind how you lose weight with them. I don't. But what does work for them is the community aspect and feeling like you belong to like your tribe or your cackle of hens, whatever it is that we create.
Go to, yeah. And also I found with what I know is that oxytocin, the hormone drug, that when you hug someone for 6 seconds, the release of that is unreal. It's not 3 seconds. Don't do it for 4 seconds. You hug someone and you hold them for 6 seconds, you will feel so calm and amazing. And I did it with all my women on my conference. And my God, the smiles and the feeling and the vibe of the whole room changed, because we started with a meditation and we started with breathing and what people wanted to get from today. And I knew these women were frightened, and they were, a lot of them had come on their own. So I made them turn to each other, introduce themselves to each person on their left and their right, and then hug each other on their left and their right for 6 seconds. And it opened the room up, and it made it just so powerful. And it made it such a room full of love. And these women were chatting, and I didn't want them to have coffee morning and be standing there on their own. And, you know, I wanted from the minute that I opened up the conference that they were as one.
Felt inclusive, yeah. And that's the thing. That feeling of isolation and loneliness is all too real.
And I knew that they were there. So I could see that a lot of people come on their own and they were nervous. And the minute they were like hugging and, you know, saying their name and laughing, and I made them write an envelope and write 3 things of a complete stranger, what the first things that came into their minds when they looked at this stranger. And I said, keep those. And when you're having a bad day, bring that envelope out and read what they said about you. You know, and I just think that, you know, this is what we need to do. And it's communication and powerful. And that is what I want to bring into this country and all over the world, basically. That's what I want to do.
That's me. And for me, like, the idea of just getting education out there, promoting advocacy,
yeah,
so that they know they can go to the doctor and ask and not be refused treatment.
And not be refused, yeah. I mean, I don't know, like, it's, I mean, for me, I know, because I had a big A-lister, and she was calling me and saying, Meg, this person is just sending me to have bioidenticals. Nothing is working. And then I sent her to a doctor that I had to sort of find out. I didn't know any doctors in LA, and I found there. And then she called me back saying, thanks a lot, because there was three Kardashians in the room that I sent her to in the waiting room. And I went, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. But I said, they didn't know why you were there. And she said, but you picked so-and-so. I said, well, it's the only doctor that said they did HRT.
Yeah.
I said, there you go. So she walked away, and she said her whole life has changed. She's walking up Runyon Canyon. She laid on a sofa for 3 years with a big dip, and she didn't do anything. And now she's working like anything. But she just didn't have HRT because everybody was in her group was on bioidenticals. I'm not against whatever you want to do, but it just was not working for her.
But just to clarify for the people listening over here, what I think Meg's referring to is the non-regulated, because bioidentical over here, we don't have the term body identical. So you either have regulated bioidentical or compounded bioidentical.
Oh, okay.
And it's compounded ones that don't go through the rigorous testing. We don't know the efficacy. We don't know that they're actually going to say what it says on the label, you know. And so it's not, and that's the stuff that's just not supported by the North American Menopause Society, and it's not rigorously tested. So
and that's what they're paying thousands of dollars,
thousands and thousands, yeah
and all these blood tests. And this poor girl lady, we spent 3 years and nothing, and you know, didn't change life. I bet she had nowhere to go to, and then she had to call me in London to...
But isn't that crazy? That's how crazy it is. It's so difficult to... And hopefully the tide is turning over here. We're doing our best.
But she made me swear I'm never allowed to say who she is, because she still thinks that she'll never work again, even though she would. But of course, I would never say anything, but it's still like that.
That's still shame.
In London, at least in England, we are more open, but I suppose... In LA, you know, it's all down to, but I think if women start speaking out, you know, we all know how bloody old you are. We know that you are going through menopause, because we're not stupid. So come on, you know, a director knows you are, you know, you are a lady of a certain age. You are going through.
I'm like, you should just own it, like completely own it, and be a role model for other people. Gosh.
I mean, I am as well. I want to say, yeah, Madonna, come out and say it, you know, come on, girl, women, or you've like, you know, Meryl Streep, all my idols, not one of them has ever talked about it.
No, I agree. It's a real pity. But so you've got your platform, you're going to do these community, you've got all of your products as well. And so the products,
my CBD, which CBD over in the US is everywhere. So that's not so, but here it's, you know, it's very new, and it's, you know,
it's fear-based, right? Because I mean, I lived in Canada for 15 years where everyone's tried pot. It's just, they grow up, it's like how we drank, they did pot. That's what it seemed to me.
That everyone just smokes pot and drink beer, don't they? Like,
but there's emerging evidence to support CBD in especially in anxiety and that's become a more acceptable way of like coping with a lot of anxieties rather than going on.
I came off my antidepressants after 2-3 years. I just put them down, and the CBD supported me completely.
Right, that was the thing
like, no, you can't, and I'm just like, yes, I can, and I'm just not taking it ever again. And I will take my CBD drops, and the cannabinoids and the receptors will send it to my part of my brain that it's needed to go to. And it did, and it supported everything that I needed it to support. So, people listening, please go to their doctors. Don't just stop and do it, what I did. because everybody is different and I wouldn't want anything, you know, wrong to happen to anybody. So please, if you are on antidepressants, do go and get advice from your doctor or whoever gave you them, you know, because you are supposed to wean yourself off.
Exactly.
So please do wean yourself off and do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, be responsible, of course. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. And so... Yeah. So you have these products, they're actually available in Boots. It's something that you decided to do because people were asking you what you used, what helped you, and you were just saying to me just before we started the show that you also like, and it's really a really important conversation, and I've spoke to a lot of women who, and manufacturers who make the more natural lubricants, that when we go through menopause, our integrity of the whole vulva and vagina changes because of the lack of estrogen, and so we must not use KY jelly. That stuff is like poison on your vagina.
And it's like, and if you go into Boots or you are going there, then you know that's my growing up was KY gel or Durex, but Durex is like what my daughter would use, and KY gel, like I said, just mean anal sex to me. So I needed something that looked pretty, that was completely vegan and completely natural, and also looked quite pretty next to the bed, and you don't know what it is next to the bed because I've got a house full of teenagers that are walking in and out, and I wanted everything to be packaged in a way that they didn't know what it was, you know, the intimate wash, like I said, intimate wash. I didn't know that Veggie Fresh and Femme Fresh and all these things in Boots that I would see, I didn't know it was about pH balance. I didn't know I had to keep my vagina because as I got older, the lack of estrogen was drying it out and it wasn't going to be as plump and it was going to be thin and I wouldn't be able to ride a bike and, you know, or, you know, and vaginal atrophy. What a word is that? I've never heard of that.
I know. Yes. We think of things like vaginal atrophy and incontinence as old lady things.
As old ladies, yeah. But we...
No, it's not.
Women now are like, you know, they can't even sit, can't even wear jeans. This is what's frightening. And it just comes from nowhere. So, you know, I just imagined a really frail old lady with grey hair and a walking stick and stuff. And I'm meeting women that can't even wear a pair of stretch like jeans because it is agonizing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's really important to maintain that pH balance because otherwise you're going to open yourself up to some worse things that are much worse.
And it's dry and it can crack and it can bleed. And for me, I mean, because as we know, I'm a bit of a shopaholic. I mean, I was chatting with all my ladies that have worked in like Chanel and stuff for like 30, you know, years. And, you know, they have to wear tights, you know, they have strict rules and they wear tights. And they were saying, yeah, but we wear nylon tights and it's really dry. And I was like, I'm going to make you a moisturizer, girls. I'm making you a moisturizer. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. I'm going to make you a moisturizer. I'm going to have to check that it doesn't stain La Perla knickers and everyone comes back and sues me, but I will make something that will help you out. I mean, everything I do, it's like, it's not going to prevent it because, you know, it doesn't have any hormones in it. So if you are going to happen, it's going to happen to you. You can't prevent it.
But vaginal atrophy can be managed, and it can be managed from a number of different ways. Yeah, and one of them is moisturizing.
And there's all sorts of work. I'm just wanting to, you know, like soothe it. It's like basically, you know, getting into a nice hot bath with some, you know, nice oils and Epsom salts. That's how I feel it's. Yeah, my products are. They're not like, you know, they're not, because people are like, oh, they're going to change. I'm like, no, because they don't have estrogen in. It's not like a suppository, you know, that all is, you're going to have to go through your GP, your doctor. As you don't say GPs, do you? You have to go through your doctor, and to get those, they all have to be prescription.
Yeah, absolutely. These products are available if people want to buy them online, and maybe we might see them in the stores.
Yes, I hope so. My fingers are crossed.
Fingers are crossed, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to make one. My dream is to come to America and to break America and do... and
Like Eddie Murphy? You're going to come to America,
yeah? I mean, I had an amazing... Grit and Soul. I don't know if you follow them.
Well, I do know Grit and Soul quite well, and it's nice that you're talking about them because I know you did an interview for them. Yes. I also have done an interview for them, and I also host a retreat every year in Europe, and Roz, one of the co-founders, actually joined me on my retreat this year. So that was really nice. So
okay. That's not Sid's mum, is it? No.
No, I think that's Susan.
She's obsessed with Ibiza boot camp.
Right. No, that was one of the other founders. And so,
one of the other founders. So, and they were so into this menopause, and they were just they were great. And I was just like, wow, it's so good that, this New York, and then they've got you and your West Coast, aren't you? And then there's them and then the East Coast. It's great that it's slowly getting picked up.
Slowly getting picked up. And Emma Forbes is somebody who's been very vocal about it. She's now here. So she's chipping away with her podcast and talking about it. But the tide is turning, and I think I'm going to be speaking to Avram Blumen and Carol Tavris, who wrote Estrogen Matters. They're at the forefront of trying to educate, it's primary caregivers and gynecologists over here. So slowly we're just making this a bigger conversation, and I'm glad you're part of it.
That's what I mean, because all my girlfriends, American girlfriends that are over there, they're just like, where do we get it from? It's like, they said, oh, I've just bought some estrogen cream. I'm like, how can you just buy it? You can't.
You can buy it on Amazon. That's why, because the world is mad. That's right. Yeah.
I said, you need to take this seriously. Don't just grab a bit of estrogen cream off Amazon. You need to look at this, because I didn't, and it nearly destroyed my life. It did destroy my life. That's why I started this, because I had the most horrific 4 years of my life, and now I'm come through the other side, and I never thought there was going to be light at the end.
Do you know what though? That's such a great point, because that's a lot of women who are in the thick of it, and we've both been in the thick of it, literally don't see the chance that things are going to change. But at the end of it, it's like this hard won victory. And when you've discovered, it's like a journey of self-discovery. And I think it's people like us at the end of it are like going, listen to us. We know what we're talking about.
You do, and the first time, and also what comes out of it is I'm more comfortable in my skin. I know who I am. I used to hear people say all this, when you hit this and you, and I used to think, oh, that's all a load of old, you to listen to this, the wise woman in the tribe. But eventually, at last, I really do not give an F about, this and that. It's all gone, FOMO, everything. I'm just like, I am happy with me, and I love Meg, and I like Meg, and life is good, and all those things that I used to worry about, they've gone, and they literally did go. So
I love the expression, instead of FOMO is JOMO, so the joy
JOMO
of
now. Yeah.
JOMO is the way I live too. I think it's part of the journey, right? You're on the struggle bus for so long, and then there's like a sense of calm that's come over me too, that's made me think,
I'm like, God, well, I never, I'm just like, whatever. And also, like I explained, like if we were back in tribal times, I would be the wise woman sitting in the village. You would be bringing me the food. The kids would be coming to me. You'd be asking me advice. I don't need to be the sexy cackling. I'm not going to be reproducing. I'm just going to be sitting there in my beautiful hut while you would be coming, and I would be telling stories, and we'd be enjoying food together, and the children would be around me, and you'd come for advice. And that's how I feel now.
Yeah, that's what you're doing now, right? Yeah. Smoking your pipe around the fire. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I just see that, and that's the way that it is. So you'll have to let me know about your retreats that you do.
I do these retreats every year. Yep. So I will. The next year's in Morocco, and so the girls from the Grit and Soul are all coming. So
well, count me in. I'll be with you as well.
All right. Awesome. I will definitely. It'll be a lot of fun. Listen, Meg, thank you for coming on the show. You keep doing everything that you're doing and keep the conversation going. I just think this is just the start of it. And I love that you've taken the time out to speak to me and the people that listen to my podcast, because keeping it real is so important to all of us. Thank you for listening to the show. And now I have a quick favor to ask of you. Would you leave me a review? Every time you leave me a review, it helps me get in front of new listeners. It helps me to continue to put out great content and get fabulous guests on the show. And in return for you doing that, I will send you a free gift. I have a 12-week core focus program called Abs on Fire. All you need to do is two simple things. One, leave me a review on iTunes or Google. Two, email me at amanda@fitandchips.com and I'll wing that program over to you. Thanks so much, guys. The views and advice expressed in this show by myself are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider. Thanks so much for stopping by. Take care. Bye.